Nice to have you with us. My name's Steve Petch. I have the joy of leading Grace Church, and I've been preaching at our Bognor site this morning, which has been good. Driven up here to be with you for this meeting as well. Chris isn't here today. He's up in Midhurst this morning speaking, which is good. I'm going to be carrying on our series today, God's Rescue Mission. We're preaching right through Mark's Gospel. So if you've got your Bible, why don't you grab it and turn to Mark chapter 6. If you haven't got your Bible, we have a few spare copies available. We would love for you to have a Bible. So stick your hand up. A steward will come running your way with a copy of the Bible so you can follow through what's being said this morning. Brilliant. Now, before we get into the passage this morning, what I'm going to do slightly, I'm going to do something slightly different this morning. In fact, it's all going to be a bit different this morning. I hope that's all right. First of all, is I'm going to chat to you for about 10 to 15 minutes up front about some stuff that is nothing to do with the talk. That's the first thing. Then I'm going to do the talk, but don't worry, it will be truncated appropriately. And I've already practiced, so that's all good. No, I was here on time, so clearly it worked. Good to see you. You all right? And that's the plan. Okay, enough on that. We've been doing this series to look at reaching out to people, how to share our faith and things, which is good. It's good to hear that Alpha's filling up nicely. You pleased? Annie and Sally, you run that. That's good. I understand we have our first need for Hungarian translation. That's not bad going, is it? I don't know where Andrea is, but well done. We can do Hungarian. If you needed Hungarian translation, we can do that. That's good. Lots of things we can't do, but we have that one in the bag as a church. So that's pretty good. Right, some comments up front. The first thing before we get... So we will come to the Bible. Be ready. But the first thing, I just needed to say a few things. Comments about my role and about leadership development in the church. You said, all right, I just wanted you all to catch this. We're going somewhere with this. But you, many of you will be aware that as well as leading Grace Church, I've got a role much more widely in commission. Commission is the family of churches we belong to. It's part of New Frontiers. That means that sometimes I am travelling to other commission churches to bring support and encouragement and shaping to them. Sometimes that's midweek, which is fine, and you probably don't notice. Sometimes that's with leadership teams, and sometimes that's on Sundays. For example, give me a couple of examples. 2 weeks ago, I was at East Beach Church in Selsey. Now, that's an evangelical church that we are building links with. They've got a new pastor in there, a guy called Phil. He's lovely. And he now attends pretty much all of our commission gatherings and is making links with us as a group of elders, as leaders. And quite a few of that church have now booked into West Point with us. How about that? There's a collection of people, and they've booked into West Point under our church, which I think is quite good. This is a really important development. It was really important that I visited. And I've been invited back in the autumn. Please come again. And we're building links with Phil. So I'd like to encourage you to pray for that connection. And for Phil and for me and for our ongoing connection as we build links with that church. But I just wanted to give you an example of some of the stuff I'm doing. Does that make sense? That's beyond us. And then the week before that, I was in London. I was speaking at Westminster Chapel. And they're now a commission church. They're part of our group of churches. And the leader there is unwell, and they needed some support. And it was good to connect with the church and with some of the team. And that was good. I enjoyed preaching. It was good being in London. It was really good to go and speak there. And then earlier in the year, I was at Christ Central Church in Portsmouth. And you may remember shortly before that, we helped them out in an emergency when they had an ongoing illness there as well. But actually, I went and preached there earlier this year, just to help and encourage them. And in May, next month, I'm going to be at Life Church in Southampton on a Sunday. And in June, I'm going to be at Junction Church in Eastleigh on a Sunday, where I spent a lot of time inputting them last year as we worked towards the appointment of elders for the church, as they transitioned from being a church plant to a church. And that's quite a lot. That's just a few things. And then additionally, some of you will be aware of our good links with Compassion, not to be confused with Commission. So Commission is our family of churches, part of New Frontiers. Compassion, the child sponsorship people. Okay, Compassion UK have, we've worked with them over a number of years. They've asked me, would I please join them for a 5-day trip in May from a Monday to Friday, going to Kenya to visit some of the child sponsorship projects there to come and bring encouragement to bring encouragement to that trip to some other New Frontiers leaders. So we already support them. They're taking a bunch of New Frontiers leaders. And because we support, I said, would you come and be there for them That would be really helpful. So I'm going. They're paying, which is good, but it'd be nice to go out there for 5 days, for what it's worth. And then Joe and I have been asked to go to Mumbai in India, which commission, sending us on. So again, commission are funding that. It doesn't affect us as a church, except for time. But we're going, first of all, to Sydney's church. You know Sydney. He's been and preached Living Word Church in Mumbai, and then to Vinu's church, Living Hope Church in Mumbai. That's late July into August, so a couple of weeks there. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that's a lot of different connections, and it all takes time. And we always talk about it as an eldership team to make sure I'm in the right places, and we talk as, you know, with our trustees. And because actually my primary role is here. You get that. The primary role is leading Grace Church. So this is home. This is number one. And this wider stuff is all part of the mission we have as a church together, because we're here for more than just this town. We want to impact the nation and the nations. We need to stand together in that. And so I just wanted to let you know, especially because I have one or two people going, I haven't seen you for a few weeks. That's right. That's right. And that's part of us as a church, because we want to be giving and sending and reaching into... Does that make sense? So I just wanted to sort of make you aware. Now, because of our wider involvements as a church, and because of a multi-site church model now with three locations, and because of the fact that no one can be in more than one place at a time, and because of the fact that human cloning is illegal, development of more leaders is crucial for us as a church. It's crucial. And that's why you will have seen and will continue to see a few more new faces preaching and leading things now. And there's more to come. This guy's done really well with his preaching. Hasn't he? Yeah. I think he's done really well. He's done really, really well. Chris, I mean, watching Chris, right? We've got him on staff now. Chris Kimbangi. Every week, I feel he's not here, so I can talk about him. I feel like it's like I'm literally watching him change and grow week by week. And it's sort of a joy to behold, really. And so many new things going on. David's putting hours and hours into Midhurst, making that happen. That's crucial. I know he misses being here, but it's essential part of his role. And it's so important that as a church we continue to develop leaders. We need to be a leadership factory. Okay, so we're not the sort of church that relies on one-man ministry. We've always been led by team. And if we are relying on one-man ministry, then what will happen is eventually I'll drop down dead. Then we'll have nothing. And that's not good, is it? That's not wise. That's not good. That's not God. So we need to be growing and developing leaders. So... on Wednesday, 20th of April, we're going to have a prayer and vision night. And at that evening, I want to talk about our first female site leader for the Chichester site, which I think is a good thing. So for us here, one of our site leaders is going to bring a female onto the site team. I mention that because we haven't done that in this site before, though we have in others. I mean, Midhurst, you know, Sam Fever, married to John. She's been leading up there for ages. But I'm just aware that's something, another development for us, which is brilliant. And I want to talk more about leadership development that evening too. I also want to talk about a chance for some of us to go to the Philippines to visit the children we've sponsored there with Compassion. So I'm going from the trip they've asked me to go on, but they are also saying, well, we'll organise a trip for you, for your church, to go to the Philippines if you want. Do you want to do that? And I've said yes. So in April 2018, which may seem a long way away, it's 2 years, it's really not that long, there'll be a chance to go. To be part of that, you'd need to be a member of Grace Church, and you'd need to be sponsoring a child in the Philippines with Compassion, in the, you know, with, through us that we've done. Does that make? And you need to pay. It'd be about $2,000. That gives you time to save. So it's three aeroplane flights to give you a perspective of getting there. And we'll be leaving on Easter Monday, 2018. All right. So just let you know more about that. If you want to go, I can take a certain number. Lots of good stuff. Is that all right? Right. Second thing, we will come to the preach, but I felt like this. I need to chat about a few things first. Second thing is this. Who's noticed, right? I have started a blog. Did you spot that? Anyone? You seen it? Okay. Thank you. I'll talk about that. Here's the thing. I've enjoyed getting multi-site up and running the last 3 years. It's been good to see new congregations. It's been good to connect to new people. It's been good to see new leaders released doing their thing. Personally, it's been a little bit painful feeling less directly connected to every member personally, and I have felt that over the last 2 years. So in the past, with multiple meetings, I would have seen everyone who came every week, even if only in passing, and I could look across sort of hundreds of people in Grace Church. I'd know where everyone was and mostly what was going on in their lives. That was reality. That is no longer the case. I'm just aware of that, and it just means that multi-site doesn't allow for it, and also it makes sharing news and life a bit harder. And do you know there's some really good things that we're doing as a church that are a blessing to our community? Really good things that are going on. Good stuff. And there are things happening in individual sites to build the church, like Bognor's Community Fun Day. I mean, it's awesome what they're going to be doing. It's 4 weeks' time. It's brilliant. And they've got a marquee, and they're going to be meeting out in the marquee on the Sunday morning and stuff like that. There are people making faith steps in various ways. Greg and Becky Bell moved from Bognor to Midhurst to help get that site up and running. They've moved house and everything, and probably a lot of you wouldn't even know that that's the case. And I'm just aware that, you know, they really went for this, and it was a big faith thing and came down to the wire, and it looked for a minute like they'd gone right off the edge of the cliff, and then God came through, and it was amazing. And people are doing all sorts of things, and personally there's stuff I'm involved in the wider world of commission that's exciting, and it could all go by unnoticed with you just seeing what's in your little part of our vineyard together. And so for that reason I've started this blog. The aim isn't to teach theology. Heaven knows there are enough people doing that already on the internet, and it's not all good, let me assure you. The aim is not to teach the secrets of church leadership. You know, it's not that. God forbid, quite frankly. There's plenty of people doing all that already. And again, it sounds good. It's not all. The aim is to keep connection across our church, all the sites, to let you know what's going on in different sites, to let left hand know what the right hand's doing and build us together as a family. That's what it's about. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done, to take a look. If you want to connect, you could go. That's the web address, stevepetchchurchleader.org. I can't say I particularly like that address, but that was what was chosen, so I comply. I do as I'm told. Believe it or not, my wife denies that fact, but I do sometimes do as I'm told. They've created a Facebook page. I'm not actually on Facebook, but there is a page now. And if you like it, then you'll see in your stream, I am told. Help me if I'm wrong here. You'll see when a post goes up, it'll appear in your stream and you can link to it. Have I got that right? Yes. And Twitter, which I do myself as well, will appear. And we'll put something up every Tuesday lunchtime, roughly. So that's when it's going to come out. Just want to talk about what's going on in our church life. Is that all right? Different to notices. Do you know what I mean? We can notice an event, but we can talk about people and things that are going on in a different way. So get hold of that. It's a real chance to celebrate what God's doing with us as a family. And if there's something good that we miss, let us know and we might get it included. All right? And let's stay connected. And then the third thing, when we come into the Bible after this, is we've got this day coming up, a training day with Ravi Zacharias Ministries. So our current preaching series is trying, among other things, to equip us to share our faith well. I guess some good things are happening because alpha numbers sound promising. So something's connected somewhere, praise God. But I don't know about you, when it comes to sharing your faith, it can get tricky. And so Saturday the 4th of June, we're putting on a whole day Saturday training day. It's a full day. The aim is to equip us to be able to respond well to the main objections to Christianity. Some of you will have heard of Ravi Zacharias Ministries. They're excellent. And we all know that when we share our faith, we quickly find people throwing objections at us. Do you ever get that? Things like, oh, science has disproved God. I don't think it has, actually. But, you know, Christians are all bigots, which is a great quote to hear, isn't it? It says, you feel like, I feel that there is a bigot in the room right now, but I'm not sure it's me. That's what usually goes through my mind at that point. I'm feeling on the end of something. Religion causes war. You know, you think, what? Not like atheism then. Hitler, Stalin, Mao. All faiths are the same anyway. Why does God allow suffering? These are responses people have. You share your faith and you get this response. What we're going to do, the training day, is to help us, from some people who are perhaps a step ahead of us, it'll help us first to answer the questions for ourselves and secondly for those we're talking to. And so it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a ticket-only event. It will be free. Just to tell you, these guys do sort of like half-day training days in London, and it's 18 quid a ticket. Now, the reason we don't charge is because we just don't want to charge for ministry. We don't want to do that where we can possibly avoid it on principle. So we do it out of our giving as a church. We're putting this on. It's for our church. Get a ticket. I've already had some church leaders from another church asking, can we come, can we bring people, these sorts of things. The reality is I think we will only have room for our church, probably. But if you're here today, feel free to book a place. Thank you for your patience there. I appreciate I've used a bit of time that we could have been preaching to do something different. I hope that was worthwhile for you. We're actually going to come to the Bible now, so grab hold of your copies. And this is my talk title this morning. It's called Provision, Presence and Power. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6. I'm going to start by reading the passage from Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Our stewards are still collecting a few forms up. Just let that come by and stick your stuff in as it comes. But let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And I want to read to you. Here's what it says. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns to get there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. The hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, what, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That's about a year's wages, apparently. And he said to them, how many loaves have you got? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, said a blessing, broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were all satisfied. And then they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, that's a miracle. Just to be clear, this is a miracle we've just read about. Okay. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, which is kind of early morning by now, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. That's a miracle again. You get that? That's not normal. He's walking on the water. Doesn't usually happen. Walking on the sea. Jesus meant to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were utterly astounded, for they didn't understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And when they'd crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and they moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized Jesus and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countrysides, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that he would touch, that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Okay, that's the passage. What I'm going to do, I want to look at the passage. I want to introduce the 3 words, and then I want to apply it to our lives in that order. All right? So we're going to go through the passage, look at these 3 words, and then a bit of life application. That's the plan. So let's start at verse 30. We're looking at provision, presence, and power. So, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. The fact that they returned tells us that they had been somewhere. And earlier on in Luke 6, we found out where they went. Luke 6, verse 7, it's on the same page in my Bible, says, he called the 12 apostles and began to send them out 2 by 2. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. And then he gives them instructions for their journey. In verse 12, they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Then in verse 30, they returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So that's quite cool. They've been off on a mission trip, a short-term ministry trip. Who's ever done a short-term mission trip somewhere? Quick show of hands. Some of us have done that. They came back excited, missionary slides for Jesus, telling him all that they'd been up to. We went to this town. That happened over here. I cast out a demon. This one got healed. Since they told Jesus what they taught as well, what they did and what they... I wonder if some of their teaching Jesus listened to and thought, oh man, I'd never have said that. It's possible. They went in twos as well. Have you ever wondered who got partnered up with Judas? I don't know, these things go through my head when I read it. Who got Judas? Did they start to see a problem already? Were they coming back going, oh man, Jesus, I need a quiet word? You know, I don't know. It's possible, isn't it? It's possible. Jesus' response, verse 31, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while, for many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. It's doing ministry for Jesus can be exhausting, whatever that ministry is. I don't just mean full-time church work. That's my thing, but you've all got different ministry for Jesus. Some of you leading small groups, some of you leading worship or teach kids groups, and actually just your life, bringing your family up to know God, going to work and living as a Christian. Trying to step out in faith at all can be exhausting. Who's found that? Show your hand. Anyone found it tiring? You find yourself drained. I mean, firstly, just giving time, money and effort to any sort of ministry is draining. It just is. Particularly if you've got to lead something, you've got preparation, then you've got sort of delivery of that thing and feeling the pressure of that. The expectation as people look at you, you know, spiritually giving away what you've got, it's tiring. But secondly, if it doesn't go well, right, or if it goes badly or not just as well as you hoped, or maybe you face a bit of opposition or you have a lack of perceived results or you get a load of criticism, you can end up feeling fed up and drained and like a failure. But that's not all. I'll let you into a little preacher's secret here, if you're ready, which is this, that. If it all goes really well, you can also end up feeling just as fed up and drained and like a failure. That's something that church leaders all know, right? So you can do it badly, you can feel down, but even if it goes really well, the next day you can just feel like, is God real? Am I even a Christian? Who am I trying to kid? What on earth were people thinking? Why did they even turn up? You know, you go through all this stuff and depression, kill me now, Lord. That's normal. That's normal. I'm such a failure. That is normal Christian leadership. And not only that, if things do go well, then what happens is you get asked to do even more. I gave you a little insight into my diary, right? Just a bit earlier. I mean, I have far more invitations than I can say. I have to say no to lots of things now. I've started saying no to people because there's so many things, invitations coming in. That's just a reality. You have to think and go, well, what is it that God really wants us to do? What's our stuff as a church? So Jesus recognized that the disciples needed time to rest because they were exhausted. They needed time with him. They needed kind of spiritual and physical refreshing. And he recognized it. And so he thought, let's get some time away. Disciples in the boat head off somewhere desolate. But look at what happened. I mean, I think this is kind of hilarious, really. It says, now many, and we know later on there were thousands of them, many saw them going, recognized them, ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Can you imagine? They're in the boat. They're trying to pull up. Hey, desolate place, time with Jesus, bit of a holiday. There's thousands of people waiting. The temptation to kind of tweak the rudder and keep going down the coast. Now, if we keep going, do they keep coming? You know, it must have been quite high, I'd have thought. They could have done a couple of circuits of the lake. I don't know, but they don't. They land. And it says this, when they went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And I imagine the disciples were probably a bit hacked off, to be honest. They're tired, they've done their bit, they thought they were getting a break, and now they're, oh, Jesus is off teaching again. And I think we get a glimpse, you know, Jesus' attitude is one of compassion, but we get a glimpse of the disciples' attitude, I think, verse 35. When it grew late, the disciples, probably a bit tired and grumpy and whingy by now, said, look, it's a desolate place, the hour is late, send them away to the countryside and villages so they can get food to eat. So Jesus, can't we just get rid of them now? Let's have a break. But Jesus does not share their attitude. And so he gives them quite a serious request. He says to them, you give them something to eat. And then the disciples respond, I think, with huge sarcasm. What? Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Is that what we're going to do? 200 denarii, it's like 200 days' wages. Bear in mind, you know, Sabbaths and things, it's kind of a year's salary, give or take. And it's just this huge sum of money. What are we going to go and spend that, Jesus? Is that what you want? Really? Seriously? Who are you trying to kid? And Jesus then, he's taking it quite seriously. So he said to them, how many loaves have you got? Go and see. And they came back and they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it's like their sarcastic response. Jesus is just serious. He's got compassion. He's got something that the disciples don't have. He loves the people. It says, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass, which tells us it was sort of March, April time of year, the only time of year you ever get green grass around that part of the world, apparently. And he sat them down, and the rest is history. 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, sorry, plus women and children would have been probably 10,000 plus people. 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, 12 is significant. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. It all symbolizes all of God's people. Tells us that God can provide enough for all his people. All right, so that's kind of that first story. Now, a couple of thoughts. The miracle is unusual in that it's recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all contain the feeding of the 5,000. 3 out of 4 of them, it then goes straight on to talk about Jesus walking in water. And on all 4 occasions, it's a pretty similar telling. It's basically the same. And I reckon this event must have burned in their minds. And then John, when he writes his gospel, I won't turn there, but when he writes his gospel, he bungs in 3 extra details. First of all, he tells us that it was Philip who Jesus said, give him something to eat. And Philip who said, what, should we go and get 200 denarii worth of bread? So Mark spares Philip's blushes, but John doesn't. John secondly tells us it was Andrew who turned up with a young boy and said, I've got a lad here, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what's that going to do? Okay, and John also tells us one more thing, which is straight away afterwards, the crowd wanted to then use violence to proclaim Jesus as their king. And Jesus had to deal with that. So those are the extra bits that we get. And I think there's lots of theological lessons we could learn from this. And I just want to point to one, ready, which is this, that Jesus is our provider. There's loads of stuff we could take. Let me just take one. Jesus is our provider. And when it comes to life and ministry, when it comes to our family or our home or our job or anything we're doing, we need to look to Jesus to provide. So miraculous provision. So that's the first word. Let me put it on the screen. Provision. All right. Let's bring up the second word. Presence. Let's look at the passage again. Verse 45. Bearing in mind, Mark doesn't tell us all about the crowd trying to make Jesus king. But there's something in this next verse that tells us there was an urgency. Because it says this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him while he stayed and dismissed the crowd. So there's something going on in the nature of that. It's a bit like urgent now, you go, I'll deal with the crowd. There's something, I think we read that slightly there. So Jesus gets rid of all the crowd. It's quite forceful. Verse 46, and after Jesus had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea. He was alone on the land. So Jesus spends time praying and seeking God. Do you know you need to do that? We all need to do that. If you're a Christian, you need time with God. Spend time in God's presence. If you're going to last in serving God, you need time in his presence. That might be reading the Bible. It might be praying. It might be worshipping, putting on a CD or playing, you know, and worshipping. And maybe going for a walk out in nature. Might be doing some great way of serving people. But you need some way of getting energized in your relationship with God. And it's different for different people. Jesus' route seems to have been going up on his own on a mountain to pray to his Father all night long. That's what he does. And do you know, if Jesus needed time in God's presence, we certainly do. And then verse 48, in the second half, it says this. So Jesus saw they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. You ever felt like that? Your life ever felt like that? Making headway painfully. That can feel like that, advancing under fire. That's how I've described it sometimes. And the disciples, they're going slowly. They've been rowing since early evening. Now it's the early hours of the morning. They're still straining against the oars. In terms of the distance, they should have been able to make it there and back a couple of times by now. But they haven't even made one trip. They're making no progress. And these are fishermen. They know the lake. They're going nowhere fast. And then Jesus comes to them, and it says this. He says, and about the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., but, you know, it's dark. It's not quite light yet. He came to them walking on the sea, which is pretty cool. We get to walk on water. I'd like that. I can walk underwater, but I can't walk on water. And get this, he meant to pass by them. Isn't that interesting? Jesus basically walks across, and he's just going by. And do you know, God does this. Sometimes it is as though God makes to pass us by. It's like he is at work and he's just going to pass us by. And you can sit there and go, it's all right for them. No, that response isn't right. What do you do? If God is going to pass you by, what do you do? What should you do? If God's going to pass you by, what should you do? Yeah, call out to him, reach out to him. Don't let him pass you by. Don't let all the blessing go to them and not you. Don't let God call it out to him. Me, Lord, I want it. And the disciples start shouting out. I mean, Jesus is coming by. So I can imagine he didn't talk to him, I don't think, at this point. He's like, if he was, he's kind of, hey, guys, still rowing. See you on the other side. No, Jesus, come back. They want him. They want it. They want a response. Sometimes you do have to make an effort to reach out to him. It's like, oh, I went to church. I sat for a meeting. I didn't encounter God. Whose fault's that? Because if other people did, maybe you need to reach out. You need to stir yourself from lethargy and stupor. And stop, oh, I'm straining against the oars and I'm doing my bit. You need God's presence. You need his presence. And so it says, the first they thought it was a ghost. They all saw him. And then he spoke. He said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. That phrase, it is I, Jesus is quoting straight out of the Old Testament when Moses stood at the burning bush and encountered Jesus there. The angel of the Lord spoke from the bush. That's Jesus speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And he said, who are you? He said, I am who I am. That's my name. And Jesus claims that name again here. It is I am. And then they got him in the boat. At that point, once they know it's Jesus, that they want him in the boat. He is revealing his deity to them in his words, in what he did in feeding the 5,000, in walking on water. Now he's claiming the name of God for himself. They still don't get it. You can find that in verse 32. They didn't understand. Their hearts were hardened. But Jesus got in the boat with them. And as soon as Jesus got in, the wind ceased and they were astounded. It's like, oh, God's presence changes everything. That's our second word, presence. Jesus' presence in the boat changes the environment. The presence of Jesus in our life, church, family will change everything. And we need the presence more than anything else. One more word, power. All right? When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. By the way, that wasn't where they intended. They were going to Bethsaida. They didn't get that far. They've stopped kind of two-thirds of the way there. Okay, if you know your geography of Lake Galilee, you're all familiar with that, aren't you? We all studied that at GCSE, did we? Or no? Okay, maybe not. But I'll tell you then, all right? It's about two-thirds of the way. They stopped short. And when they got out of the boat, the people recognised him. They ran about, I love this, they ran about the whole region and began to bring sick people. I can imagine, like, quick, get people, get this one, get that. They're running around grabbing people out of beds and dragging them down on chairs to get to Jesus because they know he's going to get healed, because this is where Jesus cast that legion guy out. And he's gone around the whole of the 10 cities saying to everybody, look at what Jesus did for me. So now Jesus turns up on the edge of Israel and everyone says, get us to Jesus. And they turn up. And I love that at the end. They implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Power. Jesus' power brings healing and breakthrough in life after life. He does what no human being can do. Miraculous healing and deliverance. So that's our three words. Provision, presence and power. All right? You ready for some application? Which of these do you most need from Jesus today? Think about that. What do you need? Provision? Need him to meet your needs? Presence? Oh, just need to feel your spirit in my life again, Lord. Maybe, you know what it is to feel God flowing through you. You've been dry for a while, maybe. Make power. I need healing. I need breakthrough. Which do you need? What do you need in your family? What would, right now, think about this, there'll be different answers. Which of these, right now, would most help your family? Is it provision? Maybe you need God to provide finance or somewhere to live or, I don't know, something. Is it presence? Do you just need, if you could just get Jesus into the boat of your family life to sort the storms out, what a difference that would make. Or maybe it's healing breakthrough for this one that's unwell and that one that's struggling. Lifting the depression, changing the environment. Do you need him to turn something around? Which do you most need in your personal life? Again, we might have different answers. Pick one. What do you need? Is it provision? Maybe you need finance, right? That's easy to go there, but there's other things we want God to provide, like a spouse, maybe. You thought, if I could just find this husband or wife. Maybe it's children. You think, please, God, would you provide? Maybe a place to live or a job What is it you need provision-wise? Or is it his presence that you need personally? Again, you just feel you have been straining at the oars of your relationship with God long enough, making little headway against the wind. And that's how it's felt. And it just takes a touch of Jesus' presence to turn that around for you. He's here, you know. And power. If Jesus was standing up the front, right here, right now, and you needed that healing, would you not get out of your seat, regardless of what anyone sitting around you thought, get down there and go, just the hem, if I could just, wouldn't you? You would. You'd climb over people to get to him. What about your work or college life? I don't know, you know, some of your students, I think quite a few of our students away probably this weekend, but what about your work life? Provision. If we could just find the right accommodation or help to make ends meet or insight into that difficult concept or train, I just can't get my head around what I'm meant to do, or inspiration for that essay, or I don't know what it is you need him to do. Or what about his presence, just to know he's still with you when you go through the door on a Monday morning and it just isn't very good. Or what about power? Miraculous breakthrough, healing for someone. If Jesus could just touch their life, oh, what a difference. What about in our church? I tell you, I think we need all three, do we? Provision. Buildings would be good, wouldn't it? That'd be nice. There's lots of things. Buildings. Finance. People. Yeah, there's a few away today because it's Easter, but Easter holidays. But, you know, and God's blessed us. And finance, we've had a really, God's blessed us. It's been a good year. People, just a few more here and there could make quite a difference, you know. We need and power. Goodness, we just need to see some healing in several situations right now. Ready for the good news? That's right. It's that all three are available to us through Jesus. All three are available to us through Jesus, by his grace. Don't need to earn it. Don't need to kind of fast it up somehow, or, you know, pray for 17 hours on your knees and walk on broken glass. It's by grace. It's all available to us this morning. Saved by faith. Jesus didn't save you so that you could hang on by your fingertips and just get by. Saved you for relationship. He promises power by his Spirit. Your life is designed to be marked by the Spirit's presence. He's available. I mean, we talk about sharing faith with people. That's really, really important. But do you understand something? You can't sell what you haven't got. Yeah? If you need your own relationship with God. So right now, at this part of the series, I wanted to just draw us back this morning to that and say, how's your walk with God? See, our three words, provision, presence, and power. There's other words that are also really, really important that I could list. But that if we're not careful, we could rely on too much. Let me put some up for you, right? How about these ones? Strategy, administration, preparation, organization, and systems. Now, let me be clear. I love all these words. These are good words, aren't they? Good words. We need them, right? And the alternative is chaos. But so let's have all these things. I mean, let me be clear. We need them. I want us to be strategic as a church. I love our admin working well. Let's be prepared for whatever we're doing. Let's be organized and have good systems. All good things, as long as we don't let them substitute for Jesus' provision and presence and power. Amen? Do you agree? Yeah, seriously. We need all of these, as long as they do not substitute for Jesus' presence and power. The truth is, we need to rely on Jesus' provision and presence and power in us and among us. Otherwise, what we do as a church will just be dead works. Reality is, if we can look at everything God has called us to do as a church and say, if we just administrate ourselves well enough, organize well enough and make enough effort, we can do it. Can I suggest that falls short of what God wants us to do? Because I believe we're called to do the impossible. Are we not following a miracle work? Are we not following the one who can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine? Through his power at work in us. We need to have faith goals that take us beyond, you know, in saying, well, we can see this far, but we're going to need God's help to get there. We need to be relying on him. I mean, imagine my finger. Forgive me if you've heard me do this analogy before. Imagine my finger. If I struck my finger with a huge iron mallet, what would happen? Yeah, it would hurt. It would break and get bruised. But then what would happen after that? it would heal. Yeah, and hopefully if I set it right, it would heal properly. But the structure would have been shattered, but it would heal. Now, imagine I get a piece, instead of doing that, I get a piece of cotton and tie it around my finger, round and round and round and round, tighter and tighter. The structure is intact, but what's going to happen to my finger? It's going to die and fall off. Yeah, do you get the difference? I like the life to flow. I also like the structure. I don't want to be shattered and broken. I'll have the structure too. But if we don't have the life flowing through us, we're dead. We need to be people of structure alone won't do it. We need God's life, his provision, his presence, and his power. So how do we access these things? Well, provision, it started with the disciples realizing that what Jesus called them to do was impossible unless he came through. And then they entrusted the little they had, 5 loaves and 2 fish to him, stepped out in obedience, and Jesus came through. Where do we need to do that? Where do you need to do that? To take the little and say, I believe for your provision, Lord, I'm going to take the little and go. How do we access it? It's by faith with what we've got. What about presence? But I had to want it. Jesus made to pass them by. Often in the Bible, there are moments where God makes as though he is going to pass by his people. And his people have to say, no, Lord, come and meet with us. If you will not go with us, don't send us. You know, these guys from Moses to God. We need his presence. We need to be seeking his. But don't let him pass you by. Don't let others get blessed and you not. That means humbling yourself. Maybe being a little bit undignified and reaching out, Lord, I want this more than I want my dignity. More than I care about what others think, I want your presence. It's crucial. It's a powerful thing. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Ask him to dwell in you more richly. And power, that was accessed by faith. You know, Jesus from the Father is full of power. They had to reach out in faith and grab hold of him. Do you need to be taking faith steps and reaching out? So I ask you once more, which do you most need from Jesus today? When I asked that question, the room went incredibly quiet, because the reality is we all know we could do something. So I want to do something different. Nettie's going to come up, and it's just a different way of landing this morning's meeting. What we're going to do is Nettie is going to play, and we're going to listen. We're not going to sing, we're going to listen. And while she plays, I want Jesus to come and minister to you. And you to just spend a little bit of time with God, do business with God. So I want you to put your notes away. Put your Bibles away, put your iPads, pods and everything else and phones away, and just simply come into his presence. Life is so busy, isn't it? Children making demands and job making demands, and some of you I know work incredibly long hours, and I just want you, it's not long, let's just have a few minutes before we finish this morning for you to just meet with Jesus. Is that all right? And the question was this one. We'll leave the question up, David, if that's all right. Which of these do you most need from Jesus today? And I just want you to pause a moment. If it helps, just close your eyes if it helps you. And that's just, this is between you and him. But I say it again, if he was standing here right now, would you not get out of your seat and come running just to get hold of him? You wouldn't worry what anyone thought. And the truth is, he is here with us right now, because this is his church, and where 2 or 3 gather in his name, there I am. But the beauty is, you don't have to run to the front to get hold of him. Yeah? He's here by his spirit. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. He knows it. He can meet every need, and he's with us. And so in your spirit, you just need to reach out to him just where you are. You don't need to push through the crowd. He can meet with you in your chair. And so in your spirit, why don't you just open your heart and say, Lord, come and meet with me. Nettie's going to sing. I just want you to meet with Jesus while she does that. Do some business. Say, Lord, I need your provision for this. Or would you just fill me with your presence? Or would you break through in power? It depends what thing you need. You know, think of the thing that you need for your family, your job, your life. And then at the very end, we'll just take a moment, not to call anyone forward, but if you want prayer just where you are, we'll get people to pray for one another. And then, yeah. Go on, Nettie, over to you. Lord, I just pray for my dear brothers and sisters here. Lord, for those who need your provision, Lord, I just ask that you would provide everything that they need. For life and godliness and more. Finance, jobs, housing, partners in life, Lord Jesus, husbands, wives, children, Lord, healing, whatever it is, provide, Lord, I pray, right across this room. Father, I pray for those craving your presence that you would satisfy that desire. Satisfy their desires with good things, Lord, I pray. Right across the room, Lord, I want more of your presence, Lord. And then power, Lord, I pray for your healing, breakthrough, miraculous power where it is needed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.